Treasure. The question in treasure is whether it's a blessing or a curse. Not a blessing. Whether it's heavy or something that is going to help. And I want you to consider the treasures of this book of Nehemiah, whether it was bondage or whether it was actually blessing. So it's this sort of balance that I want you to look at with me. There are a couple things as I move into this. One is in history, but one is something that's just happened this week. A number of years ago, my son and I were able to buy a house. It was a house that was right next door to us. And it was, like many homes in Baltimore, it was totally destroyed. The roof leaked, and it leaked down through all three floors. The windows were boarded up. It wasn't worth a whole lot, but we managed to be able to buy it and, over 2 years' time, rehabilitate it. But there was something in that house that was a glorious pain in the neck. The man who owned it had used it as a storage facility, so he just put all kinds of junk in the house. And he told us, he said, don't ask me to empty the house out. If you buy it, you buy it the way it is. So we did. We bought it with all the ceilings falling down, all the plaster falling down, and all the junk in the house. From the basement that was packed, so packed you couldn't get through it, to the third floor, you couldn't get through that, to the garage that was rat infested. So it was a great classic house. We started cleaning it out. And there was dumpster load after dumpster load that came out. In one room, a room that had one time had a fire in it from, I guess, a kerosene heater that had spilled over. It's a wonder the whole block didn't burn down. There was just rubble, probably knee-high on the entire floor. We started carrying these things out. And there was one particular item that was unusual. It was a cat carrier. You know, a cat carrier is not very big. It's about like this. But it was incredibly heavy. And the question was, what in the world is in this cat carrier? It certainly was not a dead cat. But what is in the cat carrier? So slowly, the items of the cat carrier started coming out. And there was a lot of custom jewelry. There was a lot of chains. And we just kept digging around. And inside, there was this deteriorated bag. It had been leaking on top, and so the bag had deteriorated. I don't know why, but we just sort of shook the bag, and out of the bag came an entire handful of gold Krugerrands. Now, if you've done anything in the monetary world, you know that a Krugerrand was sort of the standard of a gold coin for many, many years. They're worth now around $3,000 a coin. We had a whole bag of these Krugerrands. And yes, there was a lot of costume jewelry, but there was also some diamonds, some emeralds, and a cat carrier. Yes, right. And so we wondered, well, what is it that we inherited, that we bought in this disaster of a house? You know, it's one of those stories that you always wish that you were the recipient of, that somehow I would go through this pile of junk and discover a treasure. Well, we actually did, a treasure. But we also inherited a house that at one point my son looked up at me. I was on the roof, working on the roof. He was down in the basement. We could eye each other. There was nothing in between us. And he said, "This is a really smart move, Dad. You already own one wall. Your neighbor owns the other wall. You just bought empty space." So sometimes we wonder whether what we have or what we think is a treasure is a blessing or a curse. This week, you probably read the news that Bill and Melinda Gates announced their divorce. It's difficult to imagine a family with greater wealth They have a single, not it's the only one, not the only one they have, but one of the mansions that they own was stated as having 66,000 square feet. Now, on my street of Calvert, my Calvert Street, a block of houses like mine would be roughly equivalent to 66,000 square feet. If you took all of the houses, all of the floors, all everything, that would be the small townhouse that they are living in. But it didn't help. All of the wealth didn't keep the marriage together. Blessing or problem? That's the question that we look at. And I want you to look at it with me. When we come into this chapter, chapter 5, we start out with what I want to call a treasure in bondage. The treasures of the people had actually put them in bondage. They had put them in bondage to each other. The people couldn't work on the wall because they had need. They said, we're hungry. We don't have food. We don't have grain. There's a famine. We don't even have lands because even our lands have been taken away from us. Where will we get food? How are we going to work on the wall? So there was this incredible discouragement that had come that even though they had the treasure of the land, even though they had the treasure that had never been taken away, the people had been there, they hadn't been exiled, but they said, all of this is worth nothing. It is a bondage to us. We can't even eat. And I'm sure they looked at Nehemiah and said, and you, sir, expect us to work on the wall. How do we work on the wall in the midst of so great of a need? It's a focus. As a people of God, we've always chosen to focus on something. You were behind the children as they were opening these boxes this morning, but you have looked into children's eyes when they are opening a present, haven't you? Well, it wasn't any different this morning. There's this sense of eagerness of what is inside of this. And you can also imagine when our two boys opened up the big box that they chose, and it had nothing. Actually sticks his hand inside, there's nothing. What an incredible disappointment. As a people of God, we've always done that with God's treasures. We often look inside of them and wonder, is there anything that will keep me? We stick our hands, we stick our hearts inside of His promises, inside of His gifts. We think there's nothing there for me. I'm empty. And that's what happened to the people of God in Nehemiah's time. They looked at their need. They looked at their lack of food. They looked at the taxes that they had to pay. And they looked at the oppression that they were in the midst of. And they said, we have nothing. The blessings of God, the promises of God, the treasures of God, the riches of God seem to have amounted to nothing. It's only made life worse. In fact, what made life worse was that some people that had the haves of the land, especially many of the leaders, were demanding from many others what they didn't have. And so those that had some wanted more and weren't willing to share what they had. So the demand of the treasures turned into money, turned into more land, turned into children. This is Mother's Day. We had mothers who were reflecting on the fact that their daughters had to be sold into slavery just to meet their needs. It is a bit unimaginable in our country, but it happens all over the world. If you were in India today, you would begin to understand how many girls are sold as slaves just so the family can eat. It was real, and it is real today. And it's difficult to imagine the pain of parents, of mothers and of fathers, when their own children, they're not only able to, they can't feed them, but then they have to sell them into slavery. That was the situation that Nehemiah was looking at. Injustice? Yes. Lack and poverty? The depth of lack, the depth of poverty. There was deep bondage because the leaders had been possessed by the treasure. And even the people could not see what God had given to them because of the depth of their needs. And it's no different for us today. We feel the lack. And we yearn for something more. We yearn that the treasures, the hope of treasure, the hope of God's promise might actually be fulfilled. So when we're bound, when we're possessed, even by our treasures, it's very difficult to see or to reflect the presence of Christ. It's difficult for us as a congregation. If all we can see are the struggles, are the pains, are the difficulties, it will be very difficult to reflect the joy of Christ. It will be very difficult to reach down inside of our lives and say, I have found the blessing of God. And so we become possessed by that which we wish we had. We can become possessed by what we don't have. And what God does give is no longer satisfying. That's what happens when we have treasures, and those treasures create a bondage to us. Those are the first few verses of this fifth chapter. But that wasn't the only thing that happened. Because as Nehemiah began to take counsel with himself, is an odd expression. He says, I took counsel with myself in verse 7. Was there not anybody else that he could talk with? The leadership had so fallen down that he had to take counsel with himself. You may feel like we're few, but actually, you're not taking counsel with yourselves here. You're still taking counsel with each other. God has not so reduced Abbot to a place where everybody has to stand on their own. Nehemiah was standing on his own. God has given to you each other. And as Nehemiah looked at himself and he asked himself the question, what is it that we need? Now, there are several things that he began and that we see in this that were treasures, and he built on the treasures. The first was going to be a freedom from shame, an incredible privilege, an incredible blessing, and a wonderful treasure that Nehemiah was looking at. He looked at the blame. He knew the blame. He knew the shame. He knew the rubble. He had walked it. You remember that in the early chapters? He'd gotten off of his mount. He couldn't get through places. There was so much rubble, not only in Jerusalem, but in the lives of the people. And here we're starting to see some of the rubble of the lives of the people. They were actually in bondage to each other. That was rubble. That was shame. Nehemiah looks at it and he says, it's not just the wall that has to be put back together, but we as a people have to be put back together. Many of us, he said, have had to flee. Many of us have left as refugees. I've brought many back, and many had returned. But what they returned to was not a unified people. What they returned to was not the Jerusalem that they had heard about or was in their minds. What they returned to was not the temple that they thought about. It wasn't the place of God's worship. What they returned to was something very different, but they were now free. So as difficult as it was, they had a freedom. They had a freedom from shame. And they had to realize and release that pain that was around them. The interest that they had in being what they used to be had to be changed. There was going to be something new that God was going to do and that God was going to do through Nehemiah. So they begin to release that. And Nehemiah speaks to them and he says, no, you can't do this anymore. You have to release the interest you're charging. There is a greater interest, and it's not a monetary interest. The interest is in being the people of God, in following the pathway of God. Use that interest. Be interested in that. Receive that. Don't receive the monetary interest. So there was this great caution that Nehemiah brings to them. They were free to labor. They did have land. Not all of them, because that was the part of the complaint. We've lost our land. We've had to give it. We've had to sell it just to stay alive. But many of them had land, and they could work that land. They had the freedom to work and to labor. For many, we don't always have that freedom. This has been a difficult year across the nation. Many have lost their means of labor. In aging, we lose the energy that we wish we had. We recognize we don't have everything we used to have. We don't have the same ability to move, to do, to speak, to engage as we used to have. We lose things. And it's easy to think, well, then I have nothing. No, we still have a place to labor. We still have what to do. God gives it to us, so we're still free to do that. We still have that treasure. Until God takes us to glory, we still have the treasure of being able to be an instrument of God's blessing. Count your treasures. See where they are. They were free to help. Nehemiah speaks of his own help, his own example. There were those in need, and he met those need. He met those who simply needed a place, a table, a place to stay. He provided it. Not small. 150 people, plus visitors from here, visitors from there. He didn't take what was his rightly. No. Nehemiah becomes to us a picture of a redeemer, a picture of a redeemer who has his people's interest at heart and who will give everything. And that's why we look at Nehemiah, we realize, no, Nehemiah was a redeemer, but at best he was a human redeemer. At best you and I can be human redeemers, but we have an eternal redeemer, Christ Jesus, who gave everything, everything. His life, that we might have life. That's our pattern. And that is the treasure that we give, because that's the treasure we've received. The treasure we give is the treasure of Christ, who meets us in our need, who teaches us, who shows us the way forward. The best thing that Nehemiah could do is to say, I feed 150 men. There's an oxen that's killed every day. But we have a greater treasure than Nehemiah had. We have the Lamb of God that was sacrificed not only for us, but for all those that God brings to his table. And his table is not just here at Abbott. It's our community. It's beyond us. And what he simply calls us to do is to take his provision to the world around us. To speak of his love, to speak of what we've found in our treasure. And he's going to ask us, just like I ask our children, what will you do with your treasure? What will you do with it? No, your treasure is not just a rolled up dollar bill. It's far greater. What will you do with that treasure? There was in verse 13 a freedom to covenant with God. There's an amazing little text here, and a little frightening, actually, but it's no more frightening than what happens to us when we come to the table of the Lord. And I want you to be reminded of that. Verse 13. I also shook out the fold of my garment, and I said, so may God shake out every man from his house and from his labor who does not keep this promise. May he be shaken out. And the assembly said, amen. May it be so. So they were free. They were free to still covenant with God. God said, walk with me. I will walk with you. Don't walk with me and you will be shaken out. So there was a promise, a blessing, but it was a condition. It was both things. God brings to us today both things. He brings us promise and he says, I expect you to follow it. Don't be shaken out. Receive the covenant of God that he's given. It's God's enduring principle of freedom in treasure. So if Christ is your treasure, if he really is your treasure, then increasing his presence in your life, increasing his presence in the community is the treasure that will grow. Sometimes we bury our treasures in cat carriers, full of litter, full of costume jewelry, in other words, fake treasure, stuff that doesn't really accrue to anything. But inside of that is something of great value. It's the value of Christ, his sacrifice. His sacrifice is our model. Nehemiah was a sacrifice. Nehemiah was a picture, but he couldn't begin to be what Christ is for us. Look at the provision that we read of in these final verses of Nehemiah chapter 5. He was appointed to be the governor, and as a governor, he received some sort of a stipend. But the practice had been to not only receive the stipend from the king, but also to tax. That was the privilege. If I'm the governor, then I get to tax. I'm going to take from you. That wasn't the pathway that Nehemiah provided, and it's not the issue that they had to deal with. In fact, he could say quite the opposite. He said, listen, I have practiced hospitality. That's the treasure of providing for others. Practice hospitality. I just want to remind you again of the homework assignment that Brother George gave a couple weeks ago. I reiterated it last week. Practicing hospitality, blowing the trumpet, means speaking to people, calling them, saying, I appreciate you. We need you. Hospitality is not just the food that you may put in somebody's house or in somebody's porch, but it may also be that. How do we practice hospitality for each other? How do we practice hospitality for a world around us, as we see even in this text? There's assistance that's given, the assistance of what is needed. Nehemiah recognized incredible need. He provided assistance for it. The treasure that God gives to us is to sacrifice for others, to be able to provide hospitality for others, to be able to provide assistance for others. There are many in our congregation that wish they had the strength that they had 25 or 30 years ago that now need assistance. It's not a shame to need assistance. Actually, it's an opportunity for the people of God to provide assistance, to check in on each other. How are you doing? Do you have a need? Let me speak to you and just encourage you, even if I can't come, even if I have nothing to give to you, I can give to you a word of encouragement. I can pray with you. I can pray for you. I will call you. And so we meet each other on the wall of building God's kingdom. The church, this church, Abbott Church. Ask who's in need. And so the question that I want to leave you with is the same question that I gave to the children. God's given you a great treasure. What will you do with it? Do you give or do you take treasure? Do you present Christ as our Redeemer, as your Redeemer? Do you present Christ as the one who has met you in moments of struggle and difficulty? Do you miss somebody today? give them a call. Say, I miss you. I want to walk with you. I want to leave you with the gift of Christ. Most of the stuff in our, what I want to call our redemption house, that little big house on Calvert Street, was hauled off to the dumpster. Only a very few things did we keep. Eventually, those gold Krugerrands were sold. Wish they hadn't been sold. They'd be worth more money now. Sometimes we part with our treasure for less than it's actually worth. But God has given to you a great treasure. Don't let it get away. Maybe you need to have a life yard sale and get rid of some things that you really don't need and that don't really help, so that you can cling to that which is the greatest treasure. Maybe you need to get rid of discouragement. You don't need that. Maybe you need to get rid of we can't possibly get there. You don't need that. What we do need is this renewed sense of Christ in our midst, the blessing, the treasure, the hope of life everlasting. Seize it. Lay hold of it. Yes, in the midst of struggles, there is still treasure. The treasure is in you, because Christ is in you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. You are our treasure giver. You are our treasure. And you've called us to be treasure bearers. The gift, your gift, the gift of Christ to each other and to the world around us. Lord God, we acknowledge those things that would discourage us, those things that we cannot do. We acknowledge those things. We acknowledge that our desires are greater. Sometimes we desire the wrong thing. Would you take away from us those wrong desires and fill us with joy, with the joy of your presence, the joy of the King who has promised to go with us. Father, thank you. We hold your treasure in clay pots, often broken, often disfigured, but you are our treasure. Help us, Father, to walk not in shame, but in glory, your glory, because you walk with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.